X-Men Season 1, Episode 4, The Memory Remains. Starring Natalie Winter, Omri Rose, Robert Pierce, Stephen Chesterton, Joseph Zarabin, and Jason Rivers. With voices by Daniel Earle, Isabel Wolfe, Sophie Noel, and Nathan Dunford. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Written and produced by Carl Dutton, with script editing from Drew Callan. X-Men Season 1 is a fan production with no affiliation with Marvel Entertainment or Fox. Theme owned by 20th Century Fox. No infringement intended.
The scene. Xavier's School for the Gifted. It has been almost 2 months since Jean Grey joined the school. And now, on a still, calm night, the students can finally forget about being X-Men. Forget even about being mutants. Tonight, they are just teenagers.
Oh, come on, Bobby. That did not happen.
It totally did, Jean. I swear to God, that was when I first used my eyes. The whole class was freaked out.
I can imagine. A frozen swimming pool has to be hard to get out of.
It's a good job no one was under the water.
Tell me about it, Hank. The fireman had to break us out. No one knew it was me. Until I froze the drinking fountain the next day.
What did you do?
What do you think I did? I ran away as fast as I could. Good job the prof found me.
Indeed. Being discovered in public is not pleasant.
True, but you didn't destroy half your orphanage.
At least your power stops when you can close your eyes. These wings are permanent. I haven't been able to sit back in a chair for 7 years.
I still think I have it worse than you, Warren.
Come on, Scott. You put on those glasses and you look normal.
And what would have happened if the professor hadn't turned out to be some mutant genius? Besides, I haven't seen a thing in almost a decade that wasn't tinted red. I mean, you guys tell me Jean is a redhead, but the truth is, you all look red to me.
You can fit through a doorway. You can go to the bathroom or take a shower without having to worry about your wings fitting or knocking everything over.
You gotta be kidding. You want to talk about the shower? I can't even take a shower without wearing these shades in there. I have to catch myself in the morning when I wake up. I had to train myself to not open my eyes until I put my glasses on. Do you know how hard that is to do? Do you know how many walls I busted before you all showed up here?
Before we showed up? So that makes you better because you got picked first?
I didn't say that.
Guys, come on.
But that's why you were picked as the leader, wasn't it? I'm only 2 months younger than you and I have to follow your orders. How does that figure?
Look, he chose me because of my leadership skills and tactical mind. Who else is going to lead the team, Warren? You?
Maybe if I had been calling the shots, we wouldn't have had to ad-lib a plan B against Juggernaut.
Guys, seriously, we're supposed to be chilling and having fun here.
No, I want to hear this. Come on, Warren. What would have been your plan?
I want to come up with something.
Oh, get lost.
Screw you.
Guys?
It's okay, Jean. I've been wanting to get this off my chest for a while now.
Well, maybe if you spent some time with anyone except Jean, you could have said it before.
What was that, Scott?
All right, enough. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we should call it a night.
Yeah, everybody cool off.
You're jealous, Scott. Is that it? Jean is too good for a nerd like you anyway.
Maybe you should just go buy her some stuff. That's how you've gotten people to like you for most of your life. Right, Warren?
That's it. Let's go, Red Eye.
Anytime, Wing Boy.
Great! You want to blast me with those eyes of yours? Then go for it. Because I will just fly back and hit you so hard your head will...
I would love to see you try, Rich Boy.
Stop it now!
The two lads are both pushed away from each other by the psychic blast. The drinks on the table are knocked over from the force of the impact. With tears in her eyes, Jean turns and storms out of the room. Bobby, now calming Scott, takes him from the room one way as Hank does the same with Warren through the opposite side door. Hank takes Warren down the hall to the living area and Warren's room.
Sorry, Hank. He just knows how to push my buttons.
You were doing a fair bit of that yourself.
I guess. Sorry about that.
I'm not the one you need to apologize to.
Him? I'm not saying sorry to him.
Not Scott. Although I hope that will come later. However, we both know where this animosity stems from. Don't we?
Whatever. He barely even speaks to Jean.
Ever wondered why, Warren?
No. But if he feels that way, why doesn't he just say something?
Maybe he feels that she has already made her choice.
Me? Oh, no, Hank. You don't think he thinks that she...
I do.
Oh, hell. But Hank, she's just... She's really not my type.
Then perhaps you should tell her that. But later. Now, I think we could all use some sleep. So you all calm down, and then sort all this out in the morning.
All right. Thanks, Hank.
Good night, Warren.
Hank leans against the closed door, exhaling, and then looks up to see Bobby Drake walking towards him.
How's Scott?
He's pissed off, cursing Warren's name and everything he stands for. Warren?
The same.
You think we should go check on Jean?
No.
Think we should tell the prof?
Most definitely no.
Jerks!
Jean enters her room, telekinetically slamming her door, and throwing herself onto her bed, with her head in the pillow, ready to rip it apart.
Jean? Jean, you okay?
Yeah, Warren, I'm fine.
Can I come in? I think we need to talk.
I really just want to go to bed.
Okay, well, I'll be here in the morning if you want to, you know, talk about stuff.
Yeah. Night, Warren.
Night.
It is not long before Jean readies herself and indeed goes to bed. She tosses and turns for a while, but finally passes into a restful sleep. A peace that does not last long, as the conversation about the discovery of their gifts taps into something deep in her subconscious. Soon, she sees images of a girl. A girl that is joined by the image of Jean as a child, the both of them laughing and playing. As she and the girl cross a road, the girl drops something, a piece of jewelry, which she bends down to pick up. As she does so, a car rounds the corner, not seeing her. Jean calls a name she does not remember, but the driver tries to stop. But is going too fast. The girl's body flies. As it does, Jean cries out, hearing not only her own voice, but also the voice of the little girl. A voice crying out, not with an audible cry, but with the cry of her last thoughts. Jean wakes up with a start, breathing heavily as the nightmare drifts from her mind and she returns to her room again. But she cannot take the thoughts from her mind. It was all so real. The next morning, Jean walks into the kitchen in the grey Xavier School t-shirt and pyjama bottoms she slept in. Scott is already there, eating a bowl of cornflakes.
Morning.
Morning, Scott.
As she seats herself at the counter, she lowers her head into her hands and runs them through her red strands of hair.
OJ?
Sure. Thanks.
Listen, I'm sorry about last night. Things got out of hand.
Yeah.
And I should have never brought you into it.
No, it's fine. I'm not really thinking about it right now, to be honest.
Oh.
Yeah. I had a nightmare. But it was just so real.
They always feel that way. But can it be worse than what we've been through these past few months?
It was definitely worse.
Yeah? How so?
I don't know.
What happened? In the dream, I mean.
I was younger. A girl. A girl who seemed to be my best friend was with me, but I didn't even know her name. She was hit by a car.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I think she died. And I felt it.
You felt the car?
No. I felt her die. I heard her die.
She screamed.
It was more than that. I felt her die. Like, in here. In my head.
Well, I guess all of us have dreams about what could have happened if things went wrong with our powers. I worry about that a lot myself.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably just being stupid. It was just a dream, after all.
Jean.
With a start, the two teenagers realize Xavier is now behind them, sitting in his wheelchair in the doorway.
After you're dressed, I think you should come to my study. We need to talk.
A look of dread comes over her face. An hour later, uninvited, the four other students await whatever news comes from that office. It has been mostly silent but for a few moments of conversation between Hank and Bobby, Warren and Scott sitting opposite each other, in an awkward silence.
Scott.
I know, Warren. I'm sorry. I crossed the line.
Yeah, so did I. We're a team here, and you are the better leader.
Thanks. And I know your wings have to suck.
So do those eyes.
As they finish their apologies, the two reach forward and shake hands.
Ah, thank goodness.
Scott, about Jean.
Yeah?
How much do you like her? I mean, she's very pretty and everything, but is that it?
No, I guess I love being around her. When she speaks to me, why am I talking about this to you guys?
No, carry on, Scott. I almost shed an ice tear.
Robert.
Sorry.
Well, if you want to give it a try, then go for it, man. I won't stand in your way.
I thought you two...
We're just good friends.
Oh. Well, I can't anyway. Not while I can't control my eye blasts.
What? That's BS, Scott. You're just using that as an excuse.
I'm not.
Yeah. You are.
Well, I'm dangerous. Maybe once I...
Call them!
Jean!
I said, call my mom and dad right now or I will, and I will tell them everything!
Jean, they already know. Now calm down and let's talk about this.
Go to hell, Xavier! I am packing my stuff and calling a taxi!
Oh, crap.
What the hell? Jean. Jean, what's going on?
The boys stand and rush up the stairs. But once on the landing, they come face to face with an upset Xavier.
Professor, what's going on? Why is Jean talking about leaving?
She is upset.
About what?
About me, actually. About something I have done to her.
What did you do?
I am not at liberty to discuss that without Jean's permission.
Swear to God, Professor. If you've messed with her head...
As Warren storms into Jean's room, the rest, led by Scott, move to follow.
No, boys. Warren is her best friend. I think they should talk first. A crowd around her will only make this worse.
Jean, can I come in?
Yeah.
Warren enters the room slowly, carefully shutting the door behind him. Jean is sitting against the far wall with her knees up to her chest, in a fit of tears.
Oh, Jean.
Warren walks over to Jean, and as he leans down, she reaches up and pulls him into a hug, soaking his shoulder with tears.
That bastard. How dare he? How dare he?
How dare he what? What did Xavier do?
I don't want to talk about it here. Not with everyone and him here.
Okay, then. Let's go into town. I'll drive.
You drive?
Yeah. Had my convertible in the garage for months. Not had chance to use it since you got here. Things have been a little crazy lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. We'll go to that coffee shop you like. go something.
The two exit the room arm in arm, Warren guiding her towards the stairs and past the group. As Scott moves to say something, Warren just shakes his head, taking Jean down the stairs and out to the garage.
This is serious, Professor. You better tell us what happened right now, or I'm leaving too.
At Coffee A Go-Go, Westchester's premier coffee place, Jean sits and stares into her coffee, her eyes still red from the tears, stirring it over and over again.
So?
He did it to me, Warren. He did it to me for...
Did what?
He messed with my mind. Did you know I've known him for years and didn't even know it? And apparently my parents are in on it. I don't even have words for that.
Wait. Known him for years? Since when?
Since I was a little kid. Maybe 9, 10. He didn't say. No wonder he came to me so soon after my powers manifested. It all makes sense now.
What? That doesn't make sense. Why would he wipe that from your mind?
Because I'm a telepath. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah. You know how he cut Vanisher off from his powers? Yeah, that's what he did to me. For my own good, he said. That... Oh!
Wait a minute. So you are a telepath like him? As a kid?
Keep your voice down. I had a dream last night. He said he had it too. Knew that it was my dream, that I was remembering. It wasn't a dream, Warren. It was a memory.
A memory? That he got rid of?
A trauma. I don't remember it, but last night I saw it playing in my mind like a movie. I was there, but I don't remember being there.
What happened?
A girl, a friend of mine, I guess. She got hit by a car and I guess I must have manifested my telepathy at that point. I felt her die.
Felt her? Oh.
Yeah. Apparently in the beginning I was catatonic, then I started to go a little crazy as I started hearing everyone's thoughts nonstop. My parents tried everything, every doctor, every psychiatrist, until the professor came. He said he couldn't make me myself again without removing that memory. The memory and powers.
And you got telekinesis anyway?
Yeah. 2 powers. He said that he and Moira called that an Omega-class mutant. Only 1 of 3 he knows of in the world. Him, Magneto... and me.
Wow.
Yeah, but Warren, he lied to me. He did to me what he did to all those other people. And after that, I helped him. I fought his battles for him, all so he could do to other mutants like he did to me.
And what if you hadn't have had that dream last night? Do you think he would have told you?
He says so. When I was ready, he said, but it's the boy who cried wolf situation, right?
I can't believe it.
Yeah, but you called it, Warren. You and Hank both warned us, but we didn't listen. Magneto and the others might be, but Xavier. I think he's the worst.
Well, that's it then. I'm leaving too.
You don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I am not staying with him, not after what he's done. For all I know, he's lied to all of us. What if I have a memory that made me messed up? Did he remove that as well? No. No, to hell with him.
This one's on the house. You look like you need it.
Thanks.
Anything you want to talk about?
Not really.
Guy trouble? This guy cheat on you?
No, nothing like that. It's just my... I found out the truth about a few things.
Yeah, I know how that is. You guys come in a lot, but you're usually with the built tall guy and the little cutie.
You mean Bobby?
Yeah, Yeah, I think that's it. My name's Zelda, by the way.
Strange name.
Hated my real, so I chose a cool one.
Fair enough.
If you need anything else, honey, then you just let me know. I don't own the place, but I practically run it. A chocolate muffin would make everything a lot better, I think.
I'm fine, thanks.
Suit yourself. I'll be over at the counter if you need me.
Yeah, thanks, Zelda.
No problem. Hope your day picks up.
Nice waitress.
Yeah. So, now what?
We go home?
No! To hell with that! Not ready to talk to them about this yet.
Well, I do have a fortune to my name. Where do you want to go?
Someplace hot.
Hawaii sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, let me just go back to the school and pick up our stuff. Anything you need in particular?
No, just some clothes and everyday stuff.
Okay. Be back soon.
Okay.
Back at the mansion, the same information has just been relayed to the others.
No, that is crap, Professor. She was right. How dare you do that to her?
I had no choice, Scott. She may have never regained her sanity with her memory intact.
And what about the rest of us? Have you done the same to us?
Of course not.
How would we know? How can we ever trust you again?
Because of what I have done for all of you. Because of what we have accomplished together.
Accomplished? We took on your old friend, your threat, your stepbrother, who you wronged, and you lied to us. No, you lied to us, sir. On the flight back from Washington, you were asked if you would ever affect our minds as you did the Vanishers. You said no. So you lied to the rest of us, too.
I only did it to protect Jean.
Right, because she wasn't ready. So when would she be ready? Why didn't you mention any of this before? You know, it might have actually been useful to have a telepath who could walk.
Scott, that is enough.
No, it's not enough. I'm done.
Scott rips the X symbol off his belt and throws it on the table.
Goodbye, Xavier.
Scott.
I believe I will be joining him.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm out too.
The two stand and follow Scott out of the room. Xavier wheels himself around the desk after them.
Boys, Mutant Kind needs you.
As Scott storms out, the others follow in grim silence, marching down the spiral staircase and out of the front door. Xavier continues to call after them.
Magneto is gathering a group. Without the X-Men, he will kill millions. No one will be able to stop him. Scott, Henry, Bobby, please, let me explain. I can't do this without you.
The front door slams and Xavier is left sitting alone in the foyer. He lowers his head in silence, tears welling in his eyes, then wheels back to his office. Moments later, Warren enters, finding no one there to greet him. He is glad to avoid any confrontation with Xavier as he collects a few things and leaves. Xavier, sitting in his office, with the thoughts of his mistakes, doesn't even try to stop him. His adoptive children have now all gone. At that moment, across thousands and thousands of miles, two twin mutants now walk in the center of a peaceful, simple, European town.
I like it here, Pietro. Life is so simple, away from the noise.
I know what you mean, Wanda.
I want to just stay here. Stay here and forget the world. Forget that other...
Wanda? Wanda!
Pietro cries out as his sister's fingers begin glowing pink and violet, the color expanding to cover her entire hands.
Not here. Not now. I can't control it!
The simple townfolk around them begin to gasp, yell, and run away.
Wanda, focus. Concentrate!
The pink energy comes from her hands like rings forming around the building ahead of them, and warping it, destroying it.
Sister, You must gain control.
I can't. I can't control it. It's never been this powerful before.
As Pietro looks up, some of the roofing breaks off and falls towards three people below. He springs into action, taking off at a speed faster than the eye can see. His movement is only a blur as he picks up the townspeople and runs them out of harm's way. The roof falls to the ground with a mighty crash as he places them in safety. But instead of thanking him, they scream and run away in terror.
Monster! Monster!
Such a show of gratitude.
I did it, Pietro. I stopped it.
Hearing angry voices, they look up and see what looks to be the entire town coming toward them. The mob looking very unruly, some even carrying weapons.
We'd better get out of here.
To where? I can't carry you away too quickly. I'll hurt you, even if there was somewhere to run to.
We have to stop them.
Hang on to me. Perhaps I can get us across town at least.
The mob have surrounded the twins and are closing in.
Get away from them, humans.
As Magneto floats down into view, the crowd look up in terror. The caped man now creating a magnetic field around the twins. He then gestures towards the villagers, throwing the mob's weapons into the air as cars and anything metal that is not tied down starts to move, some flying into the air at them. The mob quickly disperses, running for their lives as Magneto lowers himself to the ground in front of the twins, a smile upon his face. Satisfied that the humans have left, he turns towards them and removes the magnetic field.
I had that.
Obviously.
What do you want?
Your help. As mutants.
For what purpose?
To end this. To end humanity's dominion over us. Fix the mistakes of the humans' world and make it a utopia for us.
You want us to join you in hurting people?
Helping them. The only ones who will get hurt are those in power and those who stand in our way.
That may be quite a few people.
Indeed. And that is why I will need you.
You may take your offer and...
Pietro, you saved us. Saved me. I owe you my life, sir. I will help in your cause to repay you until I feel that debt is paid.
Very well.
Well, if she's joining you, then I am too.
Good. Then it would seem that the Brotherhood is complete. It's time to make our move and for mutant kind to take over. And I know just where to begin.
X-Men Season 1, Episode 4, The Memory Remains. Starring Natalie Winter as Jean Grey, Omri Rose as Cyclops, Robert Pierce as Angel, Stephen Chesterton as Beast, Joseph Zarabik as Iceman, Jason Rivers as Professor Xavier, Daniel Earle as Magneto, Isabel Wolfe as the Scarlet Witch, Nathan Dunford as Quicksilver, and Sophie Noelle as Zelda. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Original music composed and scored by Declan Gilgallon, based on the original theme from 20th Century Fox. Written, directed, and produced by Carl Dutton. Script editing from Drew Kalin. Royalty-free sound effects sourced from FreeSFX and freesound.org. Next time, Brotherhood, Part 1.